Welcome to Nevada News. Megas coming to you from Carson City. On the broadcast today, the Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court, James Hardesty, joins us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Wayne Frediani, Kyle Roering, and Andrew McKay. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Ahern Rentals, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Pro Group Management.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always delighted to welcome back to the program James Hardesty, Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam, for having me back.
Always a pleasure. Let's start out with, how is the appellate court going?
You know, Sam, it's one of those things that follows the saying, I love it when a plan comes together. And that is exactly what's happened. The voters approved this measure on November 4th. The court had 60 days to implement a brand new court because, as you know, it started on January 5th. The first thing is Justice Gibbons, chairing the Judicial Selection Commission, vetted, I think it was 36 applicants in record time. The governor, also in record time, appointed those three judges, and by the middle of December, we had the three appointees. The court had to formulate all of the rules that would guide how the Court of Appeals jurisdiction would be determined and what cases or case types would be assigned to them, and we finished that work. The Board of Examiners and the Interim Finance Committee had to take appropriate measures to implement the budget they had passed in 2013, and all of that was accomplished by about December 8th or so. And on January 5th, I swore in the first three judges of the Court of Appeals. Since that time, I have assigned 354 cases to the Court of Appeals, and as of the end of April, they have decided 224.
Wow.
They have also conducted oral arguments, two sessions of oral arguments. They have published one opinion and are soon to publish another. So, as I said, things are doing very well. And as it impacted the Supreme Court, as we began the year, our pending caseload or backlog was approximately 1,950 cases. And by the end of April, for the first time in years, our backlog dropped to below 1,600 cases. I don't know for sure, but I'm optimistic that much later this year, or by the middle of next year, we may clear out our backlog, which would put Nevada in an extraordinary position of being able to decide any appeal, regardless of its complexity, within a year after it's filed.
Okay, so you're saying 1,600 cases gone, potentially by the next year.
Well, we will always have about 600 to 800 cases pending at any one time because they're being briefed by the lawyers. So the true backlog is about 800 cases yet to go that are ready for decision and are just waiting for either a central staff or a justice to work that up for the rest of the court to decide the case and write the order or opinion.
I want to get your opinion on a editorial that came out of the Las Vegas Review-Journal that was pretty brutal. It said, supreme bailout when Nevada voters, were Nevada voters sold a bill of goods on question one. And, you know, explain if you will, and I know you would want the opportunity to explain why this editorial is wrong.
Well, it's unfortunate that the editorial misapprehends the budget situation that the court operates under. We have about 9 budget accounts, the account that is the subject of our supplemental appropriation request is 1494. It's one of the Supreme Court budget accounts. And that budget account is funded about 40% by administrative assessment fees that are paid on traffic tickets. Over the past, we've always urged the legislature to stop funding the court using traffic ticket fines or administrative assessments, I should say, on traffic tickets. It's an unstable revenue source. Even that editorial acknowledges that that's a poor reason for doing so. But the thing that could not have ever been anticipated was a decline in traffic tickets in the last 6 months, and maybe 7 months now, of over 20%. That, of course, has created a huge shortfall in revenue for the Supreme Court.
Why do you think that happened?
Well, law enforcement has obviously made an affirmative decision not to pursue the enforcement of traffic violations. Because we have canvassed all of the limited jurisdiction courts, and they have made it very clear that they've had declines in the filing of traffic citations in Clark County alone. The Las Vegas Justice Court, the North Las Vegas Justice Court, the Las Vegas Municipal Court, and the Henderson Justice Court, and the Reno Justice Court account for, and Sparks Justice Court account for, the majority of administrative assessments on traffic tickets. In the Clark County courts, they've had drops of as much as between 25 and 27% in the filing of traffic tickets. So that revenue source fell off the charts. And as a result, we had predicted in entering the session that our administrative assessment revenue would be off in excess of 10%. So we sought a supplemental appropriation for that particular account. But what I have asked the legislature since I was Chief Justice in 2009 to do is to allow the Supreme Court to adjust funds between its accounts. When we have savings in some accounts, we should be able to use those savings for shortfalls in other accounts. And the legislature hasn't permitted us to do that.
And yet you have returned significant money, in the order of, $1.5 million a year?
Well, it's ranged somewhere between about 700, maybe 600,000 to as high as 2.5 million in 2009. So when I made the request for the supplemental appropriation, it was driven by two things. First, I had to request for that particular account because the legislature silos these accounts, and that is the account that is short the revenue created by administrative assessment fees. And I wasn't able to apply the savings that would be generated from other accounts, which will be going back to the state, probably somewhere in the magnitude of $500,000. So the combination of the two made the court request a supplemental appropriation. Let me give you another good example.
Let's take a break. We'll come back more with the Chief Justice right after this.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roofs.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. Let's get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court, James Hardesty. I cut you off there, so please continue your...
Well, I was just going to give you one other example about the effect of siloing money. One of the accounts that the Supreme Court manages is judicial selection, and as a result of the appointment of the Court of Appeals and the appointment of three district court judges to the three seats, it then became necessary for the Supreme Court and the Judicial Selection Commission to go through the process to replace those district court judges. Well, that budget is probably around $15,000 annually, but when you have to conduct that process for three seats, it costs a little bit more than that. Well, the budget only had about $2,000 or $3,000 in it, so I had to go to the legislature and ask for a supplemental appropriation for $5,000 in order to conduct the selection process. Now, the absurdity in that is the waste of time that it takes for the legislature in session to deal with a $5,000 appropriation, which was needed very quickly, because, by the way, for every day that you don't get those seats replaced, you're spending money out of the senior judge account to put senior judges on the district court bench. It makes no sense. So it's an example of a budget process that really doesn't make much sense, common sense.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to hit this other topic, and we've got a little bit less than about 2.5 minutes here to discuss it. So I didn't understand when the whole appellate process was going through that we would eventually lose Supreme Court members.
Since when the bill was passed in 1997, Sam, that added the two seats, there was a provision in Section 9 of that bill that said that if the voters approved the Court of Appeals, that there would be two seats on the Supreme Court that would be, those two new seats would be lost at the end of the term for those two justices. Those two seats are occupied by Justice Sada and Justice Michael Douglas. And their terms end in January of 2019.
Well,
so pursuant to that 1997 statute, those seats would be expiring at that point.
Okay, but would that not put more pressure onto the Supreme Court?
Well, of course, because at the time that the bill was passed, in effect, you gain three, but you lose two. That bill, you know, was 20 years ago. The caseload was different then than it is today. So, but the court's position has been with the legislature. That's a policy decision. Obviously, that only the legislature can affect the size of the Supreme Court or even the size of the Court of Appeals. We've advised the leadership of that legislation. They're aware of it. So I don't know whether they'll make any changes this session or next or not at all.
Okay, we've got a minute left. What would you like to see as the resolution, and what would it cost?
Well, the cost would be nothing. I mean, the budget would be the same today as it is tomorrow with seven justices. If you remove two of the justices, there would be a considerable savings in our budget, but I suspect there would be a serious accumulation of the backlog of cases.
And do you think that that would put us back in the same position we were in before you got the appellate court?
Probably worse. Because one of the goals, Sam, of the Court of Appeals was to increase the number of published opinions. With seven justices, you can publish more opinions. With five, you'll publish less.
All right, that's where we've got to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program,
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Ahern Rentals, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Pro Group Management.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
We moved into our house about 10 years ago. We love it.
But now, we're ready to freshen it up. Any suggestions, Paige?
That's easy. Nothing gives you that new house feeling like new flooring.
During our Memorial Day sale, it's easy to find the perfect floor for your home. Choose from over 3 million square feet of in-stock carpet, laminate, hardwood, and tile. Plus, take advantage of our $39 carpet labor sale. Install laminate in one room for as little as $299. RC Willie, your home, your way.
Your mouth does a lot of things for you every single day, so make sure you take absolute care of it. At Absolute Dental, our friendly staff will give your smile the absolute care it deserves, like free teeth whitenings, $1,500 off braces, all your wisdom teeth removed for just $1,299, and lots more. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable. Give your mouth the absolute care it deserves. Give us a call or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
Insurance companies will try to undercut you, knowing full well you're entitled to more. We have the experience. We know the law. We get results.
Go Lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
Wake up and come play.
Make something new.
Play Dress Up with us.
And get moving, too.
Watch all your friends enjoy the fun right here on NBC Kids.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Andrew McKay is here, the chairman of the Nevada Transportation Authority. Kyle Rohrink is a political reporter for the Las Vegas Sun. And Wayne Frediani is executive director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. Welcome to all of you. So, interesting discussion with Chief Justice here. Going back to that 1997 law that says that you can increase the Supreme Court from 5 to 7, but if you have an appellate court, you have to lose two of those seats. Does this make any sense when he says that this is going to create, put us back to where we were before?
No, it doesn't. That's why you got the appellate court in the first place, was to take the load off the justices to do, frankly, harder stuff, well, I think you're going to run into the same backlog if you lose two of them. That's just my humble opinion.
Do you think there's any appetite in the legislature this session to do something about it?
Oh, boy. You know what? I have no idea. It's so unpredictable in that building right now. I couldn't tell you one way or the other, quite frankly.
Kyle, is it too late?
I think it's too late, but fortunately there's plenty of time that will pass before the seats expire, and I think lawmakers will eventually take care of it.
Wayne?
I think it's too late. They've got more pressing things to address in the next 3 weeks than that, and I think it'd be a mistake to do it.
Okay, so more pressing things, that would be a tax bill. And the atmosphere at the legislature, especially over in the state Senate side last week, seemed to be deteriorating quite rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you have is that the business community has reached out to the governor's office. They're opposed to gross revenue. I think the gross revenue policy is the wrong direction to go, and I think the people said that in November with a margins tax that lost 4-1. The issue this session is not many people are questioning the need for education funding, and businesses behind education funding. It's the mechanism to get there, to raise the money, and there are alternatives besides gross revenue to get there.
And are you getting a receptive ear?
Yeah, I think that people are starting to think that there is a way to get there, and I think we'll get there, and I think we'll get out of here on time.
Kyle, is that your thought?
I definitely agree, and we're not going to ever get out of here unless we pass a revenue plan, and I think by the end game, the governor's office and the business community and the lawmakers are going to want to get the heck out of here. So that's incentive enough to go on summer vacation to figure something out to get this thing done.
Okay, but it's an awful lot of money to just, you know, we can't be flippant about this. But does it concern you that the level of conversation, at least toward the media, was so negative last week in the Senate?
I think it's a way to iron things out now rather than on, the last weekend in May. So it may actually be hopeful. It may be a sign of optimism that they're getting the wrinkles out now rather than at crunch time.
You agree, Andrew?
Well, the one thing is to Wayne's point, business is there at the table in terms of they're willing to pay more. The question is what mechanism, and to the governor's credit, he proposed his plan, and he did say that this is where I want to go. Now, if you have a different way to get there, to the end result, I'm willing to examine that. It's the nuts and bolts, and I agree with Kyle. I think that they're going to get this thing out, and they want to get out of here. I mean, that is definitely a move I'm hearing over and over and over. People want to get out of there on time on June 1st.
But don't they always? I mean, you know, this is where crunch time comes. There's a lot of people, Wayne, sitting at the other end of the table laughing. You've been here a lot of sessions, Wayne. Everybody wants to get out on time.
That's correct.
And every day that goes by, the governor becomes stronger, correct?
Yeah. Normally, that's the pattern. It's happened before. In that building right now, it's a guess as to what might happen. But I just feel that there's an atmosphere that get it done, get out.
All right.
But good policy, good tax policy. Not get it done with something that isn't good tax policy.
Okay, Kyle, I don't know how much you can even speak about this, but Uber, bill comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. Looking at the valuation of Uber over the weekend, and how much money they're collecting, which is in terms of billions in financing, and they're worth tens of billions of dollars, this is not going away.
Oh, absolutely not. And, I mean, it's the business model of the future. It's not going away for a lot of reasons. And, you know, you can nitpick what revenues may or may not come into Nevada in the immediate future, but there's one thing for sure is that it will bring millions upon millions of dollars to Nevada if it is instated here.
Can you speak about anything toward this?
Specifically about what is currently at the legislature?
Yeah.
I think when you get back in terms of what happened Thursday and then subsequently Friday, the deal, then the non-deal, Debbie Smith said, she sees it coming to pass. The million-dollar question is, and that is it, what was proposed, what is that going to generate for revenue? And wait for LCB Fiscal. I've been in discussions with those folks over there.
Do you think the revenue from that tax could be $90 million?
Over the biennium? It's tough.
Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, I have a question on the revenue as well, but it's not going to go away. And I think if it's regulated properly and it's done the right way, it can bring substantial revenue to the state.
And it's the future. Okay, very quick. Net metering and the whole solar battle, where are we at this point in time?
We're still at a deadlock, but I can tell you that there will be a lot of people trying to gain access to the governor and lawmakers this week to try and push something forward. Whether a deal comes out of that, I'm still not sure.
All right, and that's where we've got to leave it. Thank you, gentlemen. And you're all very optimistic. We'll be out of here by June 1. Write that down. We'll be right back.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
Home Solutions at Ace is now your custom furniture headquarters.
That's a beautiful dresser. Does it come in cherry?
Yes.
Okay, so can I change the style?
Yes.
It's a bit big. Can I get it smaller?
Yes.
How about something more unique?
Yes.
And it's all solid wood and American made?
Yes and yes. And it's actually less than a lot of off-the-floor items. Any way you want it, that's the way you get it. Only at Home Solutions at Ace, the hardware store with an entire custom furniture center.
Get the most out of your TV experience with UVerse from AT&T. Call now to switch to UVerse TV for just $19 a month with qualifying bundles. And keep that same great price for 2 years guaranteed. Plus, get a total home DVR included for life. Take your viewing experience to the next level with the amazing digital picture from UVerse. An upgrade to get over 210 HD channels. That's more than cable. Plus, the UVerse TV network is over 99% reliable, so you can depend on your TV service. Get UVerse TV for just $19 a month with qualifying bundles. And keep that same great price for 2 years guaranteed. Call an AT&T expert now to switch. Enjoy an incredible TV experience with an amazing picture, all for the same great price for 2 years guaranteed. You want it? UVerse has it. It's entertainment inspired by you. Only from AT&T.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
On our next broadcast from Carson City, Danny Thompson of the AFL-CIO will join us. We'll see you then.